Game on 2FM.
Now, if you want to get in touch, you can text us on 51552 or tweet at GameOn2FM. Yes, as Donica said, some very, very sad news from the Irish athletic scene. Tributes are being paid all afternoon to former Irish Olympic athlete and renowned coach Gerry Kiernan, who has died at the age of 67. He was an absolute giant in Irish athletics, ninth in the Los Angeles Olympics marathon in 1984, and he also won the Dublin Marathon on two occasions. A four-minute miler too, and a respected coach, and also a very, very popular TV pundit. And to remember Gerry, I'm joined by Ian O'Riordan of the Irish Times. Ian, it's not too often I think that people are really thrown and stopped in their tracks, but I think today was one of those days. Well, people aren't going to forget anytime soon just the passing of Gerry Kiernan.
Yes, good evening, Marie, and obviously condolences to the Kiernan family, first of all. I suppose I would have had the honour and pleasure of doing some running with Gerry over the years, then maybe doing some working with Gerry and doing a little bit of drinking with Gerry over the years. And not only was he a great runner, but I think Gerry meant a great many things to a great many people. And I think that's why his death today has been so saddening and been so shocking as well, especially at the age of 67. And anybody who knew Gerry would knew he was always kind of that feisty individual, always full of energy and full of life. Now, he hadn't been well the last number of months, so there was an illness there, but it's certainly a massive shock for anybody who knew Gerry. And then you think about the influence he had on the sport, and you mentioned some of the tributes there from his peers and some of the athletes he would have coached in recent years, and a lot of those came from rival clubs. I mean, Gerry was always a Clonliffe man, but a lot of the athletes like Kieran McGeehan or Kevin Dooney or Joe Sweeney or John Travers came from rival clubs, but that was never an issue for Gerry. He was always there for the betterment of the athletes, and unquestionably got the best out of them. And again, if you think about some of the work he's done with athletes, it wasn't just on the track and field. He wasn't just about being times or medals or results. He was very much a kind of a life coach, I suppose, as well, if that's not too big a word for it. And it's funny, when I got the news today myself, I just kind of felt a strange urge to go for a run, because Gerry was all about running and he had this incredible love of running as well, and he was running right up to his last few years. And I think that's the thing Gerry will be most remembered for, I suppose, was a great runner, not just on the marathon running, but on the track as well. People forget, he's just said he was a sub 4 minute miler. He was Irish 1500 meter champion. I think he was a two-time Irish cross country champion, and absolutely one of the greats of Irish athletics.
Okay, well, let's remember some of his great days.
And Gerry, I know it's a bone of contention with you regularly when we're covering the major international meets, that, I mean, she only became a Turkish citizen last year.
She's never been to Turkey, Peter, in her life. She trains at a training camp in E10, and she's been paid by the Turkish Federation, and she pitches up at these championships, and she has no connection with Turkey no more than I have.
It's a terrific reward. You see, Peter, races like this, I mean, it's not the World Championships, it's not the Olympic Games, but for a lot on the Irish team, it actually is their Olympics.
I spoke to Ciara a few hours ago. She was very nervous. I was equally so at the other end. I didn't try to transmit my nervousness to her, because I saw the field. All I saw were potential obstacles. There was 12, there was 11 girls in the field who would run faster than her, but we don't run on paper, we run on a track.
Can you describe, Gerry, how difficult it might be when you have an interruption like that and you've just been thrown out of your rhythm, and how difficult it is to get back in touch with the field and then get back in the pace of the race?
It's almost impossible. I knew that John's race was over after 70, 80 metres, because he wasn't running against mugs.
Yeah, and speaking of marathons and Olympics, your own high point there, you came ninth in a very strong field in 1984, but I suppose that got maybe overshadowed by somebody who came second.
Well, that doesn't bother me, Sean. I mean, I know what I did, and I know who I beat, and I know who beat me, and it was, I mean, that particular race was a realisation, which I didn't have beforehand, that on my day I could beat people that I thought were beyond me, and my peers as well. I mean, that's whom I look for approval. What do my peers think of it? I'm not particularly pushed Sean, if I'm not mentioned in the same breath as John Tracy. John Tracy was an extraordinary athlete. He was, after all, world cross country champion.
A top 10 finish is some achievement, isn't it?
It is, Sean. It is. I mean, I was probably the only person in the top 20 who actually worked. In my Olympic year, I was teaching 44 kids, and I often wonder what could have been if, let's say, the preceding year or two, I wasn't working at all. But look, it's onwards and upwards, and coaching people, this gives me far more satisfaction than I ever got out of running.
And he was a character, and I think that really came across there in that tribute. He was never afraid to say what he thought. He was so passionate and so authentic.
God, yeah, some lovely memories there of his voice. Yeah, as you say, completely unabashed in his commentary. Never made any apologies, and could be unforgiving, could be cutting, could be very witty, but incredibly sharp. And he had this incredible capacity to read a race. And I know this is kind of cliche for all commentators, but he could see things that not anybody else could see very easily. And I think that made his insights into athletics so unique. And he wasn't afraid to occasionally, dare I say, point a finger at other sports and say maybe the other sports get a little bit too much profile or credit, and sometimes whether that's GAA or rugby players. But that wasn't out of spite or anger. It was just out of the fact that he believed in athletics, and he believed in the fact that it is one of the most difficult sports to succeed in. And sometimes our level of expectations for athletes is not always realistic in terms of winning medals on the Olympic stage or world stage. But I think that's one of his legacies. He said it there himself, like what he brought to the sport wasn't just his own achievements, but what he did afterwards in coaching. And like, it's a rare thing to be a successful athlete and then go on to do the same for other athletes, and the likes of Ciara McGeehan. And don't forget, he took over Ciara when her career was almost finished early on, when she had so many injuries back in 2012 and 2013. And then they parted ways, I think, after Rio, but to mutual consent, because Jerry agreed that Ciara had to go on to move to the next level. So she moved to the UK and is now training out of Manchester. And the same with the likes of Kevin Dooney, who had some mental health issues, but he helped Kevin overcome those. So it wasn't just the athletics career that he was looking after. But look, sadly missed him. 67, incredibly young man. We lost Pat Hooper there before Christmas as well, another one of the Irish marathon greats. And these are the kind of people, when you think of what they did for Irish athletics, both in their own career and afterwards, you make you realise that they will be sadly missed, and you know, irreplaceable in so many ways.
In just highlighting, you know, he has criticised other sports or just highlighted some issues within other sports. But interestingly, like, people liked him for doing that. You know, they respected him so much that, you know, there wasn't a lot of negativity because of his views. People took them on board. And that's probably a measure of the athlete, the coach and the man as well.
Yeah, because you know, Jerry could talk the talk, because he'd run the miles. You know, people knew he was tough. I mean, I think he ran 47 minutes for 10 miles back in the day when, you know, if you ran 47 minutes now, you'd be considered world class. And this was back in the 1970s. So, you know, that level of respect was there. So he had that to begin with. But secondly, yeah, I mean, he was standing up in the sport of athletics for all the right reasons. In fact, it is such a difficult sport to succeed in. And maybe sometimes, you know, there's a bit of a softness given towards GA players. But look, as I say, that wasn't, you know, it wasn't just about comparing the sports all the time. It was really Jerry standing up for track and field, for the sport of running that he loved and that he cared for. And even, funny enough, the last time I spoke to Jerry, not long before Christmas, and again, like, I knew he wasn't well. He made the point himself that he wasn't well, and he'd slowed down a lot. But one of the last things he was talking about was the fact that in the face of the COVID-19 and restrictions, that it was very important for the sport to try and find ways to accommodate the athletes, to have some sort of racing and have some sort of competition, given what was going on in the GA and rugby. So even to the end, he was standing up for the sport, and that's the kind of thing that will be missed as well, of course, as just that beautiful voice that he brought to the RTE analysis.
And that's one of the things that I'll always remember, Ian. It's probably how, like Marie's mentioned, how straight-talking he was in his analysis. I think that kind of earned the respect out of everyone, and maybe that's why he was such a good coach, because he gave it between the eyes.
Yeah, and he wasn't afraid to say, you know, if you ran badly. And sometimes, it, you know, we kind of take those kind of things for granted. Mm. But he was able to see things, and if athlete had a bad day, he would say that. And sometimes that caused a bit of, you know, conflict with athletes as well. But it was funny, because he didn't, you know, I mentioned going drinking with him sometimes as well. And you could go for a drink with him, but he wouldn't let you off softly. If anything any point you raised, he would argue with us. And he wasn't afraid to say he was kind of fishing out of a few things. And by the way, he was very passionate about National Hunt Racing. He had a real love of Barcelona Football Club and a great love of Italian fine wines as well. So he was very cultured outside of the sport too, and sometimes he brought that sense to his arguments. But I think if you go back to what you mentioned about his commentary, I think it was the fact that he'd been there, he'd done that on the track, on the cross country, on the road, and not many athletes had experienced what he had and was able to bring that style of vocabulary, I suppose, and vernacular to his analysis. And that's going to be irreplaceable. I don't think there's anybody in sport right now in Ireland who will do that as well and as often as Gerry did.
It was lovely to see just people that he had taught coming out today and mentioning what a lovely teacher he was and the impact that he had on them as well, but also that he was great company, and it seems he had coffee with several people just going on social media today and just really entertained and engaged and just had so much to offer in conversation.
And in very gentle ways, he'd always be encouraging as well. He wouldn't be kind of obviously saying things, but sometimes it might saying, oh, you're looking kind of half fit, or have you run yet today? In other words, like, if you hadn't run yet today, well, it hadn't been a very positive day. And he'd throw in words like, your cadence is looking good, or you need to improve your gait a little bit. These kind of words which are very kind of quirky, and you kind of go away and think about, was that a compliment, or was that a kind of a challenge, or what exactly was he saying? But as I say, I had the pleasure of running with Gerry a few times around UCD, and always came away feeling the better for it, and you know, we could argue, and I know, funny enough, I know we used to argue about things like different things like Bob Dylan's voice or the choice of red wine, but there were always good, healthy conversations, and that's going to be sadly missed as well.
That's for sure. Look, I think I'd say on behalf of everybody that I would like to give our condolences to Gerry Kiernan's friends and family. And Ian, thanks so much for joining us. I have to say that he certainly has left his mark on Irish athletics, and there will be an awful lot of sad people out there today with this news. Thanks, Ian, so much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break.
On the go chicken bites, 100% natural and packed with protein.